things. We see it all around. And so the tension we feel is within us and although in the world around us. We do. We feel that tension. That's how do we deal with this problem and brokenness of sin? And so if you're a Christian, you've been walking and serving Jesus for a long time, you're like, I know this. I want to challenge you not to check out on me this morning. I want to challenge you to hang in there because we need to think about the weight of sin and how sin is part of our lives. And if we get too comfortable with sin and we just forget about it, then that's a problem. That's a problem. It cost God the very life of his son to deal with. And so this statement, this is what we believe about this statement, is that man was born in sin and helpless to save himself, right? So our result, our response to that thinking determines a lot. It determines our behavior, the way we raise our kids, the job we have, the way we give. So if we think about sin, the way we respond to the doctrine of sin influences and impacts every area of our lives. And I get it. Sin is not a fun thing to talk about. You know, sin is it's a heavy thing, but here's the reality. As believers, we have to think about how do we define sin, where did it come from, and how is it going to impact my life? So here's this. Christians, in a survey, 65% of evangelical Christians believe that everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. But here's what we know, according to Scripture, where we're born into sin. We're born into sin because the result of Adam and Eve. It was a result of Genesis 3. We're born into that sin. So we have these seven foundational beliefs that we've been kind of going over through the summer. We're going to put that slide up there. In the middle there, it says, it's underlined for you. Man was born in sin and is helpless to save himself. He was born into sin. And so there's Christians out there that don't believe we were born into sin. That we are born into sin. What does that mean? So there's this original sin that happened because of Adam and Eve. That's called original sin. It was their rebellion against God. Everything after that is the results and effects of sin in our lives. And so how we respond to that doctrine of how we deal with sin, it matters. It matters to God mostly. It matters to our families, and it matters to the way in which we grow and mature. If you're comfortable in your sin, you're not going to mature. Right? There's got to be this surrender, this examination, this time to come and pray, to do business with God on a daily basis, to write it out in a prayer journal, to have accountability with a friend, maybe in an activity group or connection group. But we have to respond and deal with sin. I know, I feel it. I feel that. That's how I feel. Here's the big idea. Amen. The big idea is this. As we talk about sin, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we can be experienced when we understand and act on these three biblical things. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we can experience and understand on these doctrines. Number one is that there's a human problem and there's just a sin. We have to think about that. What is that human problem? A lot of people don't think it's a problem. They think it's okay. I never murdered anybody. That's a great bar to aim for, right? That's great. Good for you. Low expectation. The second one is that there's a divine solution. Praise God. That's why we're here. That's what we're singing about. But do we really feel that? Do we really live that out? Do we experience it with all that we have? So there's a divine solution that it's Christ's death and atonement on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And he became that perfect atoning sacrifice. But then, here's the thing. As we understand sin, there's this solution. There's a response. What will our response be? What will your response be? How will you respond to the problem of sin in your life? Are you just going to go, it doesn't impact me? But here's the thing, it does. Every single day, the thoughts you have, the unguarded moments you have, it impacts you the way. So this response that is given to us because of Jesus Christ is a great word. It's called repentance. Say repentance. Repentance. It's an amazing opportunity that God gives to us to respond in the face of this awful thing called sin. Because of what Jesus did, there's this thing offered to us called repentance because of Jesus' atoning sacrifice. And so let's look at this first one, human problem of sin and rebellion. So what is sin? You know, again, like I kind of joked about, well, at least I didn't kill anybody. That's like where everybody goes. I'm a good person, at least I didn't kill anybody. Don't say that, okay? Don't do that, but don't say that either, right? Because how we act, how we respond, how we think, how we feel, we're all dealing with this rebellion against God. We have this bend in our personalities, in our minds, towards sin. I wish it wasn't like that, right? When I'm going through all these tunnels to get over here, on bridges and construction, and someone pulls out in front of me, that just, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? So But it's that response. We all have this brokenness that we feel that's inside us. And so as God created everything in Genesis 1 and 2, we see that everything was, he used this word, he said it was good. And he created you and I good, intrinsically, naturally good. We're made in the image of God and we're good. But because of that situation in chapter 3, there's these three words that entered into the picture that we have to deal with: sin, iniquity, and transgression. Sin, iniquity, and transgression. They're interchangeable, but they all have a kind of a different meaning as well that we all have to deal with. And so the Genesis 3 chapter signifies this fall of humanity, this fall of what we're dealing with and the weight of it all. And so we have to deal with this. Romans 5:12 says this: when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. And so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And so if you're sitting here like, I don't sin, yes, you do. So does Pastor Ben. I sin. Pastor Gary does, right? We're all sinners. And we all have to deal with the effects of sin. And so because Adam came in, he sinned, and sin entered the world, and it spread to everyone. So this is that sin problem that we have. And so sin is that corruption and that kind of moving away from God's standard of holiness. That's what it is. And so Romans 6:23, it says this: as we're born as image bearers of God, we're created in his image and we're created good, but then there's this thing called sin that comes in. Paul says this in Romans 6:23: for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as sin enters into the world, the penalty for sin is death. There must be shedding of blood. And so that is how, that's the Old Testament sacrificial system. That's the way Christ came. He came to deal and sacrifice himself on the cross. That there's this wages of sin. And so sin, the biblical word is harmartia. Harmartia, it's a biblical word that means missing the mark. If you think of an archer would shoot an arrow and they'd have a bullseye. But sin is missing that mark. That bullseye is God's standardness that you see on the screen behind me. And then as we live our lives and we try to take our best shot, we're falling short and we're missing his standard of holiness and everything that we do. I'm going to serve in kids ministry. That's great. We need that. I'm going to serve as an usher. We're missing the mark, right? All these different things that we do are falling short of God's standard. Why? Because of sin. It's because of the weight and the impact of sin that is all around us. And so harmartia is literally missing the mark. It's separation from God. There's this the connotation of death with it. So when you read that word, you think of maybe even a slingshot. They would practice a slingshot made famous by David and Goliath, right? They would try to use that slingshot to hit the mark, or they would use an arrow to hit the mark, but they would fall short. So harmartia is that missing the mark. And from that, missing the mark produces death. And so the Bible says, hey, there's this problem with sin. Now you must pay. Now there's this thing that this problem with sin comes death. And so, but that's not, it doesn't stop there, okay? You guys know this. Like, it doesn't stop there, that there's this free gift that's given to us in salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the hope. So as we look at that picture, can we go back to that archery picture? The target, that's God's will for your life. His standard is holiness, it's perfection, it's Christ. And in our own strength, we're going to miss that target. We're going to do that. But in our own brokenness, in our own strength, we're going to fall short. We're going to fall short. Do you feel that? That's how I feel like my life looks like right now. Just all over the place, missing the bullseye. You ever feel that way? God knows. God knows. He knows that there's a problem that needs dealt with. And so that archery, there's that harmartia, that missing the mark. When I was in middle school, I was over at my cousin Kent's house. Kent was here last Sunday. Didn't he do a great job? He was amazing. And when Kent and I were in middle school, we grew up together, best friends. I'd go over to his house a lot. And Kent had a dartboard in his basement. And his wall had all kinds of holes in it from, you know, we would just play darts all the time. This wasn't the plastic stuff or the Nerf or the Velcro. This was the metal tips, right? So Kent and I are keeping score and we're throwing darts. We're, you know, getting that, looking for the, you know, we're trying to hit that dart. We're lining the shots up, everything like that. My Aunt Elaine, his mom, says, Kent, come up. I got to give you something real quick. As I'm lining up my shot, Kent goes in front of me and I kind of pull back, but I let go at the same time. And I could feel it and see it in slow motion, like, no. And I let go and that dart goes, whew. And because I pulled back, the dart went down like this. I was like, Kent, and he like looked, and it went sunk into his leg like the Titanic, man. It was nasty. It went down. He, like, fell to the ground, you know. I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. I was like, I don't know what happened. It slipped. He's like, get it out. And I was trying to pull it out. There was blood everywhere. I was aiming for the bullseye. I swear I was aiming for that bullseye, but I missed the mark horribly. I get down next to Kent, and I pull that dart out, and there was blood everywhere. I about passed out because I'm squeamish that way. So I missed the mark horribly. I missed the mark horribly. In our lives, we try and do things, and we miss that mark every day. But here's the thing. We don't have to stay that way. God provides a way out, a remedy, a solution to this sin problem. And I love that. That's what's so great about the Christian faith, is that we don't have to, in our own strength, to continue to miss the mark. That we can put our faith in Jesus, who hit the mark and paid a way for us to have a response. That's the divine solution that we have. And listen, friends, I want you to know, like, we're going to continue on our own strength. We're going to get tired over time. But Jesus is that one who makes a way for us to have a relationship with God. He's the one who hits the mark every single time on your behalf, on my behalf. He wants you to have a relationship with him. So as we're bent toward this, iniquity is the other word. Iniquity is avon. Avon is this iniquity. In Lamentations 3:9, it says this: he has blocked my way with a high stone wall. He has made my road crooked. Say crooked. And so we think about iniquity. Another word for sin is iniquity. We live our lives, and we're walking on roads, and our roads and our lives are crooked. Have you ever been on a crooked road? There's tons of them in Pittsburgh, right? So there's this crooked way that sin has led us on, and not this straight path that God provides in and through his son. And so we're walking and living in this life of iniquity, in this crooked way that we feel the crookedness in our lives. We see it in other people, but we also see it and feel it in the world, that the world is crooked. There's corruption. There's such brokenness and injustice in the world that we see it. So avon is also a biblical word for iniquity, but it means dazed and confused. Dazed and confused. It means that we see things, but we're confused about where we're going. And so iniquity confuses us and leads us to walk and live in crooked paths. And so God is saying, I don't want you to walk in crooked paths. I want you to walk in my ways, and my ways are straight. And I will provide the way for you. So avon is that it deals with the results and consequences that we see. There's people that are suffering. There's people that are dealing with brokenness all around us, and addiction and relationships. And then there's cycles of retaliation and family brokenness that they're dealing with. And it's just this crookedness that we see. And that's what iniquity is dealing with. But I love that it says, as far as the east is from the west, so as far has Jesus removed the iniquities for us. So that's a beautiful, another example of God's bent toward love, which is our bent, is toward sin. Another word for sin, to define it, is transgression. Transgression, it means pesha. Pesha means this in Amos 2:6. This is what the Lord says: the people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sell honorable people for silver and people for a pair of sandals. And so this shows this transgression of God's own people. God's chosen people continue over and over again to break his heart, to rebel against him. And you think about that as a believer who's been walking with Jesus for a long time. There's this pesha, this transgression that we have. It's this is where church hurt lives. This is where betrayal lives. This is where all this stuff is dealing with. There's this transgression that we have. If a thief broke into your house, that's an offense. That's a crime. But if it was like your brother or your sister or neighbor, there would be pesha. There would be a transgression because you know them, you trusted them, and they betrayed you. That's what we do with God. That's what we do with God every single time. There's that transgression that we have against him that he continues to offer us, relentlessly offers us, but we continue to do that. That's what God's people did in Amos chapter 2. So that there's this breach of trust. There's this brokenness between God and humans. God wants to be our God. He wants to have a relationship with us. But for whatever reason, we continue to go. And that reason is sin, that we're dealing with sin. Pesha, it's that rupture of trust, a rupture of trust that we're dealing. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greed or people or drunkards or abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you who once were like that, but you were cleansed. Say cleansed. You were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so every single one of us have either committed one or a couple of those sins, right? Or living in it right now. But here's the thing, that we're cleansed, that we don't have to continue to live like that because of what Jesus did. We're cleansed. If you've ever been to Victory and Freedom, I've been there. We do this sin inventory. If you could put that inventory up. We do this sin. This is a sin inventory that we do. We have people go through this. It's a check sheet of all these different things that you may be struggling with. Again, it's heavy. I realize it. It's not fun. But it's important for us to kind of do an inventory, a checklist of what's going on in our lives, in our hearts, in our marriages, in our relationship with our kids. And so I love that when Victory and Freedom, we don't want just to kind of say things and download information to you. We actually want you to do business with God. That's why we have prayer here this morning. We want you to do business with God and be able to kind of have that inventory. But here's the thing. We can't just kind of like skate over it. That's not me. That's other people. That's those people. We don't say that. That we have to do that examination of our hearts before God because we continue to miss that mark. So there's this divine solution that we talked about. Praise God for this, and I'm so excited for it, that Jesus' atoning sacrifice provides a way. It provides the way for us to have a relationship with God. Atonement, because of the shedding of his blood, that pays the penalty that you and I deserve. Jesus took on that penalty for us. He became that perfect sacrifice. You've seen this. Put that next slide up for me. You've seen this before. Pastor Gary is the master at the Bridge to Life. You've heard the words Bridge to Life said to you before. The Bridge to Life is a way for us people crossing the bridge. That's people kind of dealing with their sin, understanding that Jesus is the God's solution, and that they can repent and have a relationship with him. But I want you to focus on this one right here, that first block. There's man, there's God. In the middle is this chasm that in all your strength and all of your own goodness and all of your education and all the other stuff you try to do, it falls short. I wish I could draw arrows there or had a laser pointer, but we fall short. In all of our efforts, we can't do it on our own. I want to encourage you, if you've never seen the Bridge to Life illustration, you go to our website and you can download it. You can see me become a Christian. Pastor Gary leads me to the Lord. That's right. Amen. It was wonderful. Thank you, Pastor Gary. But also we have this. We have these available that if you'd like to take one, it's the Bridge of Life illustration, this. And it kind of talks about what I'm talking about this morning. You could tuck it into your purse or your jacket, your pocket, whatever it is. But it's a tool for you to use to help others, to realize what you may already know. And you can pass this along, that there's this divine response, and it's in a person of Jesus Christ and his only son. And his death on the cross, right, was that perfect substitutionary atonement for our sin. It satisfies the wrath of God. It cleanses us from impurity. When I was a youth pastor, I would go to Laurelville. Laurelville was this camp. And they'd have this morning thing called mud football and these other games. And you'd be covered from head to toe in mud. You'd walk off and you'd just drip in with mud. They would use a power washer to spray the mud off you. That's how bad it was. I would have mud in my ears and my eyes for days. It was nasty. But I felt like in my own strength, I couldn't get clean. I needed somebody to wash me and cleanse me. And so when we think about the death of Jesus on the cross, he cleanses us of impurities. He cleanses with all the stuff that we're feeling and dealing with in our lives. And so he cleanses us. He grants us his righteousness. His righteousness. That we don't have to continue to do this stuff, but we have his righteousness upon us. He reconciles us to God forever. Forever. It's done once and for all. He makes it all possible for you to have a relationship with God. That you don't have to do all the reconciling on your own, but he has done it through Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful thing. That's the good news. And he defeats death on a cosmic level. Did you hear what I said? He defeats death on a cosmic level. I lost my uncle this past week. Kent's dad passed away this past week. My uncle, he passed away. But I know this. He knew Jesus, And because of that cosmic level that Jesus dealt with, sin, he's in heaven. He's going to be with heaven and his heavenly Father. You too as well. You can have that relationship that because of what Jesus did on the cross on that cosmic level. And I love that. This is a beautiful verse. A lot of times in football games or whatever, you see John 3:16, but verse 17 needs to have some more airtime, if you will. Look at this, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. Jesus and God get a bad rap because they think he's judgy. He's a just God, don't get me wrong. But he loves the world, that he does not want anybody to perish. Right? We're the ones that choose to be separated from God. We're the ones that rebel against God. He provides us the remedy, and it is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, John 3:16, God did not come to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. If you're sitting here this morning and you keep stewing in the same patterns of stuff, God wants you to be set free from that. He wants you to have a relationship with his Son. He wants you to surrender your life to him. He doesn't want to judge you. He wants you to have a relationship with you. Eventually, that sin at the end of time will deal with. If we're not dealt with and submitted, there's a penalty for that. We have to deal with that. That's the reality. God is a just God. But here's the thing. The good news is available to us. It's freely given. But we think we've arrived, or we said the prayer, and that's enough, but we continually have to deal with that sin. It's not works righteousness. It's this continuation of out of love and honor and devotion. I'm going to live my life. Because he died for me, I'm going to live for him. So there's this beautiful response, the human response that's offered to us. It's called repentance. What is repentance? It's a decision that results in change of mind. It's a results in change of mind, and it turns, leads us to the opposite direction. You've probably heard it before. It said that if you're going this way, you're living in sin this way, repentance is actually having that decision and going back the other way. Have you ever got to the point where you're just sick of your sin? You're sick of that same old stuff. You just get to the point where I need to repent of those things. God, will you help me to repent? So repentance is that metanoia, to think differently, to look at life differently. How are you looking at sin? Do you look at repentance as a way to think differently? Or is this just a churchy word for you? It's not a churchy word. It's a gift. It's a gift and a challenge from God for us to think differently, to live freely in him. And so repentance is not feelings word. It's an action word. It's more than just feelings. It's an action. It's a change of action and direction in what you're leading. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, what we read in Scripture, it should move you to action. If you're not moved by what Christ did, you need to check your pulse. He loves you. So why not live for him? Repent of your ways. This morning, we're going to give you that opportunity again to repent, to turn the other way, to think differently about how you live your life, how you see God. That's our hope and prayer. That's why we gather. We want people to come and understand that there's this opportunity for your marriage to be better, for you to understand who you are, to have a different identity than what the world puts on you, or your past, your family dynamics, whatever it is. You can have this repentance that's given because of Jesus Christ. And he wants you to think differently and see the world differently with eyes wide open, this wide-eyed wonder that he wants you to have. It's repentance, not a feeling. It's an action word. It's an action. He wants you to move. Repentance was the first kind of words and direction that John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, gave. The repent means to be part of God's kingdom. Repentance was this call to believers to repent and turn from their ways. It was in the preaching ministry of the 12. It was Jesus' final instructions to the disciples. It was this exhortation given in the Christian sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount. It was all in Paul's messages. Everything you see and read about Paul, he gives that opportunity. It's talking about a life repentance. But here's the thing. I like how Pastor Rick says this. He challenges us as staff. He says, be the first to repent. Be the first to ask for forgiveness. If you're fighting with your spouse, be the first to forgive. Be the first to repent and say, I'm sorry. Or with your kids or whatever it may be. But repentance is that action word. It's not just knowledge. It's just not writing it down in a book. But it's lived out loud before God and others. That's what repentance looks like. And so that's what we're called to do. That's the great thing is he provides that way for us to have a relationship through his Son There's this repentance that needs to happen in and through our lives every day, dying to self. I'm going to invite the worship team up. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11 says this. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. That's the kind of repentance or experience God leads us. He leads us away from sin and it results in salvation. There's no regret from that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Have you ever seen an athlete or a politician offer some public relations-driven apology? It feels fake as plastic. And it's not real, but repentance, is you feel it, and it changes your thoughts, and you just feel the weight of it, and you repent, you truly repent, but it leads you to God, because God's kindness leads us into repentance, amen? That's what he wants for your life. He wants you to turn from that and think differently. He wants you to surrender your will to God's will this morning. I don't know what you came in here with or what you're dealing with. Maybe you're just some selfishness in your relationships right now. That you're stubborn, I'm stubborn, I get it. But he wants you to surrender that and have victory and freedom in him. But that first step is that step of repentance, stepping out in faith. I know, I'm sorry that thing happened to you, but step out in faith and offer forgiveness. Offer repentance. Offer your will for God's will. Lay it down. Lay down your will for God's will. Jesus is that free gift that's given to us. It's there for you. It's there for you today. I don't want you to be afraid that this Christian life is wild. It's a wild experience. But it's more than that. It's a way of life. It's a way of experiencing God in mighty ways, letting the Spirit guide your steps where it may. It's not easy, but it's for the repentant. It's for those who are walking in Jesus and want a relationship with him. And Jesus is kind of, come follow me. Repent, think differently, look differently, come, leave that old way, turn, and follow me here. I want to have a relationship with you. In 1 John 1:9, it says this, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Right? If we confess, there's this response on our humanness, our brokenness, our sinfulness, that he wants us to respond and confess, I did it. I've fallen short. I keep missing the mark. But I confess I'm helpless without you. But I need you, Lord. I don't want to continue to live this way. And I confess that. And then I love that. He says that I will forgive you. He's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from those things. So this morning, if you're feeling like you're just covered in all that stuff that you're dealing with right now, why not make today the day where God cleanses you from that? That you begin to go in a different direction in your life. That you repent of those things that you're dealing with. If we confess, confess is basically this. Like it's saying the same thing about our sin that God says. That we look at the standard of the Bible and this is what God has for us, but we're looking at sin as the way God sees it, not the way the world sees it. I never murdered anybody. Come on. We're better than that. We're better than that. Look at the sin. Examine yourself. Listen, this is, I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite you to stand right where you are. Wake up. David writes this in Psalm 139. And it's one of my favorite scriptures. It's very convicting. I want to share this with you, and I want to challenge you this morning. That is, if you didn't have time to come up here at the beginning of the service, you have a second chance. Amen? That if fear held you back, this is an opportunity for you to come forward to do business. We're not going to have prayer teams, but you can literally come up, old school style, and pray right here as the altar. You could also do this. You could pray right where you are. And just make that seat your altar. But we want you to do business with God. We want you to recognize the weight and the impact of sin on your life. We want you to recognize the great gift of Jesus Christ. But we want you to confess and repent. Surrender that stuff and lead a life of victory through him. We're going to give that to you this morning. So listen, right where you are, the band's going to play. And I'm going to say a prayer. But if you need to come forward, don't leave today without doing business with God. check yourself, search your heart, go to God, do an inventory of your heart of the things that are tripping you up. You can come here, you can pray there. If you need to pray with me, I would love to pray with you if you need to. I'll be over here. But I want you to, like I said, come forward. This is a little kind of out of the box and different. Or you can pray right there. So Heavenly Father, we praise you for this morning. As the world has so many different definitions of what sin is, we go to your Bible. We go to your truth. And Lord, we have fallen short. And so Father, help us wherever we are right now. Maybe there's a marriage that's falling apart. Maybe a relationship with a son or a daughter that is in disarray. Maybe some forgiveness needs to be extended. Lord, help us to deal with that. Help us to repent, to think differently, to look at sin with weight and as a problem. Help us not to get comfortable in sin. Help us not to play the grace card where we think your grace is good enough and we'll just do that. But Lord, it cost you your very son. There was a costly grace, not a cheap grace. So Lord, help us to repent of those thoughts and those feelings and those sins that easily entangle us. Help us to receive that gift of Jesus Christ. Help us to repent. So Father, I just pray right now as we sing that people will come forward or make an altar right where they are and they would repent and do business with you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.